6:19. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A federal civil rights lawsuit alleges Dallas County's bail system unfairly harms poor people and violates their constitutional rights. Four nonprofits filed the lawsuit on behalf of six Dallas County inmates. The lawsuit alleges the county's bail system does not consider a jailed defendant's ability to pay to post bond, and that results in different treatment. Tricia Trujillo is a senior staff attorney with the ACLU of Texas.
We're challenging this system because Dallas County's money bail system has really created a crisis. Dallas is keeping hundreds of people locked in jail every day just because they can't afford generic money bail amounts that are set based on their charges, while richer people charged with the exact same offenses get to walk free.
County Judge Clay Jenkins tells the Dallas Morning News the county has been working to put a risk assessment tool in place and improve the system. Now to another lawsuit in Dallas County, one that has some county politicos on edge. Dallas County Republicans filed a lawsuit to remove 128 Democratic candidates from the March 6th primary ballot. Grummer Jeffers is a reporter of the Dallas Morning News. He talked with David Brown, host of Public Radio's Texas Standard.
It gets to a technicality in the law, an election code that says the chairman of the county party, when they're certifying the petition from various candidates and sending it to the Secretary of State, they must sign those petitions. Well, in this case, there's evidence that Carol Donovan, the chairman of the Democratic Party, didn't personally sign all the petitions and may have gotten, say, another person or somebody in the office to sort of sign her name for her.
You call it a technicality.
Not a technicality, a violation of the code, according to the lawsuit.
What is the Dallas County Democratic Party saying about all this?
Well, they're saying it's just Republican shenanigans, that this is a way to fight them because they can't be competitive countywide. The Republicans can't be competitive countywide. So they're resorting to these tactics. The Republicans are countering by saying, look, we're just trying to follow the election code. And if the candidates, the Democratic candidates who are at risk here, have a problem, take it up with the chairman of their own party, Carol Donovan, not us, the Republicans. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
What about the races that are affected here? We're talking about all local races?
Whatever candidate petition that came through the county party that she had to sign, that's at risk. I can tell you up and down the ballot, there are people affected, including State Senator Royce West, who I quoted in the story. His petition is one of the petitions that's at risk of being thrown out, and technically he's at risk of being tossed off the ballot if Democrats don't win in court against the Republicans.
That was Grummer Jeffers of the Dallas Morning News talking with Texas Standard's David Brown. We're 6 weeks away from the March primary elections. It's not a presidential year, but big offices are up in Texas. A governor, a senator, all of the U.S. House members, and so many local and state offices. KERA's Christopher Connolly sat down with Rick Holter for a look at the elections by the numbers.
Okay, Chris, let's get down to it. The first number is actually a date, March 6th, and I know that one, the day of the primary.
Right. This is the first primary in the country this year. And actually, voting starts even earlier than March 6th. February 20th is the first day of early voting.
Oh, geez. That's just a month away.
Yeah. And really, the most important day may actually be sooner than that. And that's February 5th, because that's the last day to register to vote for that March 6th primary.
Okay. So our second number, 43 million.
That's the size of Governor Greg Abbott's campaign war chest. He's up for re-election, and Democrats want to put on a serious bid for governor. But Abbott, a Republican, has a major, major leg up on them when it comes to his fundraising.
And there's like, what, nine Democrats? How do they stack up?
Well, take the top two. So Andrew White is a Houston businessman and the son of a former governor. He's raised $219,000, though he loaned himself some of that. Then there's longtime Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez. She's only raised $46,000.
Oh, let me do a little ciphering here. that means Abbott has almost 1,000 times as much money as Valdez.
Yeah, it's pretty stark. To be fair, Abbott has been raising money for a long time, and those two Democrats have just gotten in the race as of December. Right. Still, whichever one wins the primary, they're going to go up against Abbott and his tens of millions of dollars.
That brings us to another much smaller number, 8.
Right, 8. Congressmen from Texas, and they are all men, are not running for re-election this year. That means 8 new faces will join the Texas congressional delegation. 7 of those 8 announced their retirement altogether. And then El Paso Democrat Beto O'Rourke is stepping down from his seat because he's running against Ted Cruz for a seat in the Senate. And what's really crazy is the sheer number of candidates vying to replace these congressmen. There's 10 people running in the Democratic and Republican primaries to replace Blake Farenthold. He's leaving Congress at the end of his term because of questions about sexual harassment. And then there's 18 people who are running for Joe Barton's seat. He's quitting because of a sexual scandal as well.
Wait a minute. 18?
Yeah, that's not even the most. There are 22 people trying to replace Lamar Smith in the Hill Country, and there's no scandal there. He's just been around for a long time and decided it's time to retire.
That's 50 people running for 3 seats in Congress. Why so many?
I mean, so you have all this energy in this election cycle. Call it a Trump bump on the Democratic side. But the other thing is that these open seats just don't come around that often. So when they do, a lot of people jump in. I mean, take this data point. Joe Barton was in his seat for more than 3 decades.
With all these guys leaving, I'm curious. We just had the second women's march over the weekend. Texas hasn't elected a new woman to Congress in 22 years. How many women are lining up for these 8 guy seats?
So there are 20 just running for those 8 open congressional seats. 48 Texas women are running for Congress all together this year.
Let's do one last number, 14%.
Yeah, 14% is the percentage of registered voters who turned out for the 2014 primaries. The general election that year was only a little bit better, 34%. So put it another way, that means 2 of every 3 registered voters didn't show up. Millions more people are eligible to vote but not even registered.
Wow. Well, that gets us to 0 minutes left before we have to go. Christopher Connolly covers politics for KERA. Thanks, Chris.
Happy to do it.
Whenever we fill out important paperwork, we're often asked to check a box to indicate our race. And while these categories have existed for a long time, Kevin Young argues race is actually a hoax. Today on Think, he talked with Chris Boyd about discovering this idea while working on his new book about hoaxes.
I started out, you know, trying to understand the ways that hoaxing depended on race as an idea. And I trace in the book the ways that the idea of the hoax, the very term hoax, which emerges in the mid-18th century, and our modern ideas of race, that there are separate races and they have these hierarchies that were established around that time. It's not an accident that they emerge around the same time and they're dependent on each other. And so I really did come by the end to understand that race was a hoax, which is to say that it was a fake thing pretending to be real. That isn't to say it doesn't have real impact. Of course it does. And then that's another thing I want us to understand is the ways that hoaxes do have real impacts. They might be fakery, but they can last a long time and be a question of life and death.
Kevin Young is the author of Bunk, The Rise of Hoaxes, Humbug, Plagiarists, Phonies, Post-Facts, and Fake News. This episode of Think Rare is tonight at 10, and you could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera. Should be mostly clear skies in store for us this evening with a low around 36 later on. Tomorrow, sunny with a high around 59, and tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 35. I'm Justin Martin, KERA News.